Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool.
Holy is he.
Thank you. Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Trinity is from the book of Job, the 38th chapter. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I might give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let them go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud, went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and for 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord says, "As for me, I have set my king. I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage,
and the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron,
and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise.
Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear,
and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord says, "As for me, I have set my king." The reading from the letters is from the first letter of St. Peter, the first chapter. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths, brothers, when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation.
For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision, until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten with his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made,
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for letting me be here this morning. This is the thing I love to do best in the world, to be at the altar, to be in the pulpit. It's what I believe God created me to do. It's what I'm called to do. It's the thing that gives me the greatest fulfillment, and I don't get to do it every week anymore. I look forward to the day when the Navy's finished with me, and I can go back to my parish in Fort Wayne and do this all the time and just this all the time. I think of the psalmist who says, my heart is at home at the altar, that God has prepared a place for me there like a bird's nest, where I can just nestle in and be where I'm meant to be. Thank you. When I came in here this morning, I felt at home. I got hugged immediately when I walked in the door, which is fantastic and not something that happens to me anymore. And I saw already familiar faces. I saw on the bulletin board back there in the narthex the picture of Pastor Bombaro and his family, friends of mine for years now. We're a family, no matter where we live. All those who commune together. I was telling a friend of mine who's a Navy chaplain, not a Lutheran. We were talking about the sacraments. He belongs to one of those denominations where the Lord's Supper is something you do to remember Jesus, but not something in which God gives himself to you. And I was telling him how much the Lord's Supper means to me and how I can't imagine trying to be close to God or connect with God apart from the means of grace, the word, the sacraments. And part of that conversation included me saying that when we commune with all the saints on earth, but also with all the saints in heaven, that we commune with God and all who are connected to God by his grace. And it occurred to me then, my father died when I was a boy, that I have communed with my father far often since he died than I ever did while he was on this earth. And that I can say that, and it means something to me, and it's true, and it's part of why I feel at home here. All the saints who've gone before us, those that I know and those that I've heard about, all the way back to ancient antiquity, are with us. And I feel it. Not in an emotional way, but in a real way. I'm sensible of the great cloud of witnesses that are here. And I'm thankful for that part that I can see, and I rejoice in the part that I can't. That feeling of being at home, of being together, of being safe, of being where we belong, is how God means for us to experience life. It's what he meant for Adam and Eve in the garden. It's what he means for us when we gather together here. It's what he promises us in perfection hereafter. In the life to come, that's all we'll know, is contentment and being with God. Whatever else is included in the life everlasting, and whatever it means to be glorified, it will definitely include contentment. One of the things that I get to experience as a Navy chaplain is friendship, interaction, regular conversation with people from so, so many different walks of life. So many different kinds of chaplains. Every possible kind of Christian denomination I interact with. Other religions, Jews and Sikhs and Hindus and Muslims, I interact with them. We talk. It is unusual, I think, being a military chaplain. The friendships we have, the openness we have with one another, the ability to talk to each other about what we believe without fighting about it, is an interesting component of chaplaincy. And in the Navy in particular, it's an art, and I appreciate that. But I see from those conversations with so many people, and so many young people, I feel like I'm the world's oldest youth pastor. Everybody in the Navy is 18 to 25 years old, and that's who I'm supposed to be taking care of. And I can't even remember being 18. Those conversations tell me that people don't feel safe. They don't feel at home. They don't feel confident. They don't feel secure. And it doesn't matter what part of the world they come from. It doesn't matter if there's some hardcore, deep south evangelical. It doesn't matter if they're Jews from the New England area. It doesn't matter if they're Muslims who've moved to America. It does not matter where they are. It doesn't matter what political party they belong to. It doesn't matter what demographic group they identify with. People from all walks of life at this time in our country feel under attack. They feel insecure. They feel like they can't say what they want to say. They can't be what they want to be. That if they do, act like themselves and relax, something bad will happen. They'll be punished for being who they are. They'll be ostracized. Something bad will happen. Nobody feels at ease. Nobody is at their best when they're afraid. It's why we give medals to those people who do perform well when they're afraid. Nobody is at their best when they're afraid. My own life is just one long testimony of being at my worst when I'm afraid. It was one of the hard lessons I had to learn in my youth, that when I am scared, I am tempted to be aggressive and hostile. I get mean when I'm afraid. My life as a youth, I spent boxing and wrestling, and it came out in those ways. When I was afraid, I was vicious. And I had to learn not to be that. And I had to learn why. In me, not necessarily in you, but in me, that kind of hostility comes from fear. It's the same for all of us in some way. When you are afraid, when you are not secure, when you don't feel confident, it comes out in different kinds of ways. You will try to create a bubble for yourself of safety. It shows up in your family lives. Husbands and wives who are conflicted over something. The budget. The schedule. It doesn't matter. Life, my married life is full of conflict. I'm sure yours is too. When you're in conflict about something, there's a temptation to make yourself feel safe. Not by solving the problem, not by being open, not by being selfless, but by defending yourself in some way. Everyone knows this temptation. Everybody's experienced it. It happens with brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, parents and children, friends, relatives. That's not our best. We're never our best when we do that. When are we at our best? When we do feel confident, when we feel safe, when people are hugging us, when we see familiar faces, when we know what's happening, we feel safest when we're connected to our real power, our real strength. Scripture's pretty clear about where our real strength comes from. I look to the hills. Whence cometh my strength? God is our strength. In particular, Christ Jesus is our strength. Any attempt we make to feel confident, feel safe, to insulate ourselves against the hostility of our neighbors or our own insecurities, that doesn't come from a direct connection to God, is wrong and will fail. And we will hurt ourselves and others by attempting to feel safe apart from connecting to Christ. We won't mean to, but we will. We will hurt each other. We will be defensive and combative. We'll fail in some way. And we don't need to. We don't have to. We have this gospel. We have this message. We have this Savior. And we as Lutherans talk about him in a way that so few do. We understand it, and we have good language for talking about it with people. God says, where will you find me? Where can you find me? I promise. Wherever else I may be in the universe, however else I may be present as the omnipotent creator of all, I promise, if you seek me in the Word, you will find me in Scripture, I promise. If you come to the font, I will be there, and I will give my Holy Ghost to all who are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you come and commune, you will not merely remember me, you will receive me. I will give you my body. I will give you my blood. It will mingle with your own body and your own blood. And when you leave the altar, I will remain with you. I will be where you are, and you will be my people. His oldest promise to the nation of Israel, fulfilled here, week after week. This is our safety. When we sing, you know, at Reformation time and other times, I hope, a mighty fortress is our God. That's what we're talking about. The body and blood of Christ, given and shed for us. It forgives our sins. It strengthens our faith. It fills us with His Holy Spirit. It makes us different people. I believe that the fruits of the Spirit come only from the Spirit. And that if it were otherwise, the world would be a very different place. If love and chastity and selflessness and grace could be obtained by something other than the Holy Ghost, I don't think the world would look the way it looks right now. Those are gifts that come only by being connected to Christ. And Christ has come to connect Himself with us here. He forgives us for all of those times where we have tried to defend ourselves, to put on our own armor, to wage our own war against those who, for whatever reason, make us feel unsafe and threatened. He says quite clearly, the strong man who trusts in his own strength and puts on his own armor will definitely get looted. He will get robbed when the one stronger than him comes along. But that we needn't fear, because Christ our champion is with us always. Inseparably. So how does that play out? At least in my life, it plays out this way. When I feel that urge to be defensive, or more likely in my case, aggressive, I've learned. I'm afraid of something. I'm afraid of something, and I have nothing to be afraid of. It takes me just a couple of seconds at this point in my life to do that little math. But I learned. Christ is with me. Christ is in me. Christ is for me. What would Christ be doing in me at this moment? What has He promised to do in me? He's promised to make me an instrument of His will here on earth, to work through me to do good for my neighbors, to demonstrate the gospel in my behavior. It doesn't take long then for me to relax and think, you know what? Christ will be with me. He says to Peter, who gets hung up on the geography of the transfiguration later in life, you'll get led where you don't want to go. And things you don't want to experience will happen to you. And I have, like all of you, I think, my full share of things I don't want to have happen to me that have. And Christ has proven to be with me in places I thought I'd never go, in places I resisted going, in fact. Peter wanted to stay where he could see and feel safe. See Elijah, see Moses, see Jesus. I want to go away from this place. I can see you all here. This is great. Jesus knows that that's what we need. And it's 40 days after the transfiguration that the passion begins, in which Jesus establishes the Lord's Supper for us as a gift. Peter, I don't want you near me to see me. I don't want you merely to hear me. I want you to be able to eat my body, to drink my blood, to have it mix with your own. I want more for you than just this moment of transfiguration. I want a life that's changed for you. I want to transfigure you, Peter. Peter then later writes about that. He says, I was an eyewitness to it. But it's not necessarily that moment on the hillside or the Mount of Transfiguration that's the most important one. It's the gospel I'm preaching to you now. The fact that Christ is coming to you as you hear these words. The fact that He's yours at the altar. The fact that you've been baptized in His name and have received His Holy Spirit that matters. So, when conflict comes, when insecurity arises, when fear raises its ugly head in your life, know that Christ is here with you, working in you to be more like himself. We will never be like him in this world. That's a gift that awaits us only in the next. But more like him is something he promises in this world, different than we would be without him. He invites us now to come to the altar, to receive his body, to receive his blood, to continue, take up, strengthen, renew his work in us for the good of those around us, so that we can love one another perfectly, more perfectly, so that we can love even those who hate us. I don't know if you know this or not, but that is a uniquely Christian commandment. I said earlier on that I spent a lot of time talking to people of other religions, chaplains, ministers, however they call themselves in their religions. It was a surprise to me to find out how many of them think that this is a weird, eccentric, and incorrect part of Christianity, to love your enemy. Most other religions do not require you to love your enemies at all, and say so. Hospitality, yes. Mercy, yes. Love for your enemies? That's a weirdness that only you Christians claim to practice. And my prayer is that they see it in practice more and more. And they will. The more confident we feel, the more firmly we confess Christ is with us, which he is. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you revealed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son, who came to dwell among us in the flesh. Open our eyes by faith to see him still dwelling among us in the divine service. Grant that we would heed your voice and listen to him as he forgives and preserves us at the font, pulpit, and altar. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, Moses and Elijah appeared with the Savior in glory, witnessing all that the law and the prophets speak about him. Grant wisdom to all pastors and church workers to open your scriptures in such a way that everyone would hear the voice of Jesus calling them to life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, bless the families of your church, that parents would teach the faith to their children, and that the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in all households. Remember also all expectant mothers, especially Laura, Kay, Rachel, and Abby, that they and their babies would be kept safe and healthy throughout their pregnancies. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, you alone establish all authority on earth. Bless those entrusted with authority, both here and abroad, to serve with integrity and honor for the well-being of all. Grant that all division, conflict, and strife would give way to unity, peace, and quietness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of all comfort, you alone bring the peace that passes understanding to troubled hearts. Remember the afflicted, especially Linda, Hattie, Jackie and her family, Don and Karen, Al and Bernie, Bob, Candace, Danny and Camilla, Dan and Connie, Dan and Patty, and Debbie. That they would know your presence, taste your peace, and receive healing according to your gracious will, ever trusting in the hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Give us ears to hear your voice speaking through your word, holy lips to receive Christ's blessed sacrament with repentance and faith, and holy awe at your glory granted to us in the means of grace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your power is beyond compare and your glory beyond understanding. Open our hearts to know you through the glory of your Son, whose saving will and purpose has rescued us from sin and death and made us your own people by baptism and faith. For to you, blessed and eternal Father, belong all glory and honor, worship and praise, with your beloved Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 99. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them and kept his testimonies and the statutes that he gave them. Our Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them and an avenger to their wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord, our God, and worship his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith, even unto everlasting life. Depart in peace.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in the sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to constantly serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.